This is a Triple M Footy podcast. With all the latest news and stories that matter right now in footy, it's Tom Brown's news.
Good afternoon. A huge weekend of football coming up. I'll discuss that shortly, but undoubtedly the biggest issue of the week is Eddie Betts and his book, and in particular his account, his incredible account, first-hand account of the issues in regards to the Adelaide Crows camp. And I agree with what Dwayne Russell said yesterday. This isn't a journalist's account. No criticism to journalists. This isn't a third-hand account. This is from a player, in particular Eddie Betts, one of the most admired players on the actual camp. I'm sure it'll be compelling reading. I haven't read the book as yet. I'm sure our listeners are aware of some of the suggestions that Betts has made in regards to the camp this week. But this was Betts on 360 last night, in particular addressing a crucial issue today. That is, how much information did he provide to the AFL when they asked questions?
I was verbally talking about it. I told him everything, the way that I was feeling and how I was feeling. And I just felt like my voice wasn't being heard. And I felt like I needed justice. And I guess, you know, it did hurt at first that when nothing was done.
Betts was also asked by Robbo and Jared Waitley on 360 in particular what he thought of the AFL's response yesterday and whether the AFL should apologise.
I think that's probably one of the easiest things to do is say sorry. They acknowledged it today.
No, they acknowledged your pain today. They acknowledged your pain.
I acknowledge it, but the easiest thing to do is say sorry. And to be honest, it wasn't when they came out and they said that about the Aboriginal players, it wasn't only just an Aboriginal players. There was a lot of players hurting.
Now, just in regards to the AFL, they issued a statement yesterday acknowledging the hurt that Betts had suffered, also acknowledging the hurt that all the Indigenous players on the camp had suffered. The AFL explained that there's been no violation of industry rules, according to the AFL, but there had been a further investment in the integrity area at the Crows. And now the AFL must approve any external providers of camps from clubs before those camps take place. There's also, and this is a pretty significant initiative that Gills achieved during his period at the AFL, there's also, the AFL explained to say, a mandatory Indigenous player development manager now at all 18 clubs who presumably these days, thankfully, would have involvement in the curriculum and what goes on and is said and the rituals and practices and those types of things to ensure they're certainly in accordance with Indigenous practices at those camps. Betts has said that he told the AFL everything. I guess the question is whether if the AFL had known about Betts' first-hand account, why they haven't done something sooner. But that's what the AFL explained yesterday. The AFL arguably does have some rules in regards to things they could have done here, things like bringing the game into disrepute. And I guess the question will be now whether the AFL apologises. It is noteworthy also that a lot of the office holders at the Crows, and the AFL, I presume, are involved in this. I'm not attributing blame, but a lot of the Crows office holders have since moved on since this camp. So the chairman, the CEO, the COO, the head of football, a lot of the coaching staff. I won't name them because I'm not blaming them for the camp, but a lot of those people have moved on since. And I presume, and I think it's a safe presumption, that the AFL was involved in a lot of that change. So there has been a lot of change subsequent. Another issue is the Players Association, who issued a statement yesterday saying they conducted a bit of an investigation of sorts. They don't have investigative powers, but they looked into it and they now feel that the players felt pressured to remain silent about details of the camp and didn't tell all the details. Betts confirmed as much on 360 last night. He said in regards to his information he provided to the Players Association that he didn't provide all that information because he felt from a club approach that he just wasn't, it wasn't appropriate to divulge that information. The Players Association significantly looks like they'll reopen their investigation now and go back and speak to the 2018 players. Paul Marsh confirming that on radio this morning.
Bringing you the latest in footy news before you hear it anywhere else. This is Tom Brown's news.
Just one on the Giants. This came across my desk yesterday, a suggestion that at the post-game barbecue over the weekend or get-together, there was a fracas and verbal disagreement between an assistant coach, Buchanan, and a player, O'Halloran. I put this to the Giants last night. They said there was nothing untoward. They've looked into it on an informal basis. There was certainly no fracas, according to the Giants, and there was certainly no inappropriate verbal barbs, which is what put to me from Buchanan to O'Halloran. So I'm not suggesting that occurred, but they said there was nothing inappropriate in terms of those comments. It's certainly a discussion point, this exchange of words, terse exchange of words amongst the Giants playing group this week. But just in terms of reporting both sides of the facts, I'll put it to the Giants. They agree that there was some heated words between the assistant coach Buchanan and the player O'Halloran, I think directed from the coach Buchanan. It involved football, I'm told, but there was nothing inappropriate said, I'm told, and they've been training together and coaching together with each other this week. There's no ongoing issues, but it's certainly come up on the radar of some players at the Giants this week. It came up on my radar yesterday. It was at the barbecue, some heated exchange of words over the weekend. But just to be clear, the Giants have told me there's nothing more in it than that, and that's as I've reported over the last day or so.
This is Tom Brown's News, bringing you the latest in footy every Monday, Thursday and Friday. Hear it first on Listener.
Just on Brody Grundy, he won't be available to take on Melbourne tomorrow night. I reported on Tuesday night and revealed that he's had an ankle setback. It's not really a separate setback compared to his knee. I just think he's got some, he's not quite conditioned as a result of this long-term knee injury. The Pies, as per Craig McRae yesterday, saying they're now trying to assess whether he'll play in the VFL this weekend or have the weekend off. It obviously is a bit of a setback in terms of when he'll come back into the AFL side, but he has had a bit of an ankle setback. It obviously relates to this ankle issue, plus the fact that he's underdone coming back through the VFL last weekend. He was sore, and also he hasn't played a lot of football this year. So that's how Grundy's tracking from an injury perspective. Of course, Pies fans will be hoping Grundy comes back and plays a huge role, which he's certainly capable of in September. So that's still possible, but he certainly won't be playing Grundy this Friday night. In terms of interest in Grundy, I've reported that if Grundy approves, I think Collingwood will sound out whether he's interested in perhaps going to another club at the end of the year, at least looking at that option. I've reported that Port is certainly keeping tabs on his status and his availability and where he'll end up at the end of the year. It's not to say Port are going to go after him, but they're an interested party, but it's Port's view at this stage that Grundy will want to remain in Victoria. So that's just Port's position in regards to Brody Grundy at the moment. It is interesting. I've also heard in recent days that Port is keeping close tabs on Josh Dunkley too, the Bulldogs star, who hasn't signed with the Bulldogs as yet. So technically, Dunkley's available. I think Port are amongst a number of clubs keeping close tabs on Josh Dunkley.
The Saturday Rub, Friday Huddle, Sunday Rub, Midweek Rub, Tom Brown's News and all the footy podcasts you need are in one place. Subscribe to Triple M Footy on the Listener app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'll just finish with a couple. One for Richmond fans, Dylan Grimes, Damien Hardwick confirming this morning is having surgery on that hamstring. So I would hazard a guess that it's doubtful now Grimes will play again, unfortunately, this year. Having said that, Richmond's still in contention, certainly around the eight, but Grimes having surgery on that hamstring, which is, I guess, signifies how serious that was. So I'm only guessing. It depends on the tendon damage, if there is any, and so forth. But that spells clearly 3 weeks plus at absolute minimum. And just further update in terms of Alistair Clarkson. I've reported this week, and I think Eddie Maguire touched on this on Classified last night, and in fact had a statement from James Henderson, Clarkson's manager, that he has in fact met with North Melbourne. We'd reported that too on 7 News. But he has in fact met with North Melbourne. But this is the situation. North Melbourne isn't forming a subcommittee at the moment to look at other coaches. They haven't formed that. They're all in. They're fully invested. They're looking absolutely at exploring all options and exhausting all options with Alistair Clarkson first. North hope that they'll land Clarkson and not have to form a subcommittee to look at a broader range of coaches. They're not even speaking to other coaches at the moment. North all in on having an absolute crack and exhausting all options on Alistair Clarkson, who at the moment looks like has a big decision between the Giants and North. I know there's been some discussion regarding whether, in theory, West Coast or Port or even Brisbane would come up. I think that's highly, highly unlikely at this stage. The focus of Clarkson very much at the moment on the Giants or North Melbourne. That wraps up a big day of our podcast. Obviously, the big story off the top, Eddie Betts. I guess questions now as to what the AFL response will be on that front today. But thanks so much for joining us. I'll be back tomorrow where, in particular, we'll focus on a massive round of football. It's hugely exciting. All kicks off Friday night, Collingwood against Melbourne. It doesn't get any bigger than that. I'll pose an interesting question on this podcast, and this is a funny one. Do Collingwood, and by extension Geelong, need a loss after 10 wins in a row before the finals? I'm funny about that. I just think it's unlikely you could get to the finals having won 12 or 13 games and then go straight through. So I'm not suggesting Collingwood need a loss against Melbourne, but it is an interesting question. I'd suggest at this point their top four chances are much more important, and hopefully for Pies fans, they can beat Melbourne tomorrow night. Don't want to sound biased because it's going to be an absolute cracker. Triple M rocks football. I'll be back tomorrow.
That was Tom Brown's news. Come back every Monday, Thursday and Friday for more and subscribe to Triple M Footy on Listener or wherever you listen to get all our podcasts throughout the season. For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.